Isaiah 55, of course, it's in the Old Testament. We are talking here about Israel. So that is the topic, and I understand that. But I also see a message in here that is encouraging for us. Now, the message that Isaiah gives is one of hope. Consider the situation that we've been in our country for these last few months. And the one thing that people need right now is hope. We need to have hope that it's going to get better, right? And so that's the, you know, in leadership, that's the message is, well, we've got to have hope. And so do we give the worst possible news? No, we try not to give the worst possible news, even though, you know, we may put a little footnote and say, well, this could happen. But, you know, our outlook is better than that. Our hope is we're positive and we're hopeful, and we don't really want to focus on the worst possible outcome. And so we don't talk about that much. Well, Isaiah here, if you understand, and the country is really hopeless. They're waffling, if you will. They're just listless. You ever been that way in your life? Just, oh, why am I even here? What's the point? And there are people who live that way. They live without purpose and without a mission. And some people live without even acknowledgement of God. I mean, really, just use your logic and step back and look at what's been going on in the world for all of history. And just go back to the part where, you know, you draw a line here and you draw a line at today and you say, take all of this into consideration. Let me tell you something, you're going to find God in there. And you take everything else out, everything that's speculative. Take everything speculative out, you're going to see God. Because God is real. Now, for those of us who have seen God work in people's lives, there's no doubt that God is real. And for those of us in whose lives God has worked, there's no doubt that God is real. But the world needs hope. And there are some people, even those who call themselves Christians, who say they are believers. Don't know how some of them qualify that, but they consider themselves Christians. Even they wonder sometimes, where is God? In fact, I would say even strong Christians sometimes wonder, why did God let this happen? And we can find ourselves at a point of discouragement and distress. Well, here, Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, is speaking to a nation of people, but it's qualified several times in bringing it down to the individual. Guys, we could talk about the church all we want to, but let me tell you something. You are the church. You have trusted Christ as your Savior. You've been baptized into the church. You're a member of the church. You are the church. So when we talk about what the church should do, we're talking about you. Talking about how you should live your life. Talking about how you should go ye into all the world. What was that? The commission to the who? To the church. That's us. That's you. That's me. To cooperatively and independently. That's our mission. He says here, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Hey, what's he saying? He said there's no reason to be thirsty. There's no reason for us to wonder and to wander. There's no reason for us to be separated from God. There's no reason for us to be backed away from God. God wants us to draw near to him. And the Bible says if we'll draw near to him, he'll do what? He'll draw near to us. We don't have to be separated from God. We don't have to be backslidden. We don't have to be faithless. We don't have to be hopeless. He said, if you're thirsty, come to the water. Now, does anybody have one of those other versions of the Bible? And if you do, does it say, if you're thirsty, let me bring you some water? That wouldn't mean the same thing, would it? Let me tell you something. You have to come to God. If you're waiting for Him to come to you, let me express to you that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for you and rose from the grave for you, and He's done the work. And you can take a few steps from your distance to Him. Well, if God would speak to me out loud, well, then let me give you a tip. It ain't going to happen. Not to say it couldn't. God can do anything He wants to. But God has already made a plan and made a way, and now it's up to us. He said, if you're thirsty, come. If you want it, come. Take a step. Take a leap of faith. If you're thirsty. Secondly, He says, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Well, hold on a second. If I don't have any money, how can I buy it and eat it? He's saying you're letting stuff get in the way that's really not an obstacle. How many of us have created obstacles in our imagination to keep us from God? I've recalled this testimony so many times of a lady. Come to God. Come to God. If you're thirsty, come and drink. If you're hungry, come and buy. And don't worry about money because there's no price. You see, the message is hope and a better life walking with Him and entrusting in Him. Look, God could do so much with us if we get out of the way. If we'd stop living in opposition to His plan, to His timing, to His work. We resist His direction and we work against ourselves. And in verse 2, He says what? You're looking for satisfaction and you'll never find it looking there. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. God says, if you listen to me, you'll find fulfillment. You'll find satisfaction. You'll find purpose. You'll find reason. Verse 3, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. We saw in Sunday school this morning where God said to Noah, I will make my covenant with thee. Look, God wants to be bound to us. He wants us to be bound to Him. He wants us to be locked in this relationship, to walk together. But let me tell you something. People get saved and they don't walk with God and it does them no good. Okay, they don't go to hell, which is a big deal. But why do we wait till we die to enjoy the fruits of our salvation? When we could be walking with Him today, living and having fellowship and communion with Him today, trusting Him. Oh, it gives peace when we trust in Him. Instead of worrying. He said, you're wasting your time and your money on stuff that's not going to bring you happiness. It's not going to fulfill you. He says in verse 3, the sure mercies of David, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people, King David. Y'all remember King David? Did y'all read about him? Because I read about him in the Bible. And let me tell you about him, King David. He was mischievous. He was a womanizer for sure. He loved the ladies. I seem to recall that he had a man killed so he could get his wife. The truth is, he already had his wife and got her pregnant. Trying to protect his reputation, so he killed somebody. I seem to recall that about David. And yet, David was a man after God's own heart. So he had a bad side, but he had a good side. He had a spiritual side, and he had a carnal side. But the Bible says that God has given us David as an example, as a witness, somebody who we could look at him and say, well, if God can love him, then God can love me. And if God can forgive him, then God can forgive me. And if God can use him, God can use me. How about that? A witness, a leader, a commander to the people. Oh, he says if we'd start walking with God, living with God, there'd be a difference in our lives. People would be able to see the difference in our lives. I won't ask you to raise your hand or acknowledge it openly, but would you just consider, has there ever been a time in your life where your Christianity has been more obvious than it is today? Have you ever been closer to God in your relationship, in your communion, in your joy than you are today? Come and drink. Come, ye who are thirsty, and drink. If you're empty, if you're searching, God is here. Look at what it says right here in verse number 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Look, he says there are relationships that we will have because of the Lord our God. Look, he says they will come looking for you because of your faith. Why? Look at that last part. Because he has glorified thee. He hath glorified thee. In other words, when we're walking with God, there's a difference. And when we're not, there's a difference. Guys, he says people are attracted to us because of our faith. Not just our faith, but our walk. When we walk with God, when it shows in our lives, people will be attracted to us. And I don't mean they want to be your girlfriend and your boyfriend. I mean they want to look to you. They look to you for counsel. They look to you for mentoring. They look for you for advice from you. They trust you. Let me tell you something. When the glory of God is on your life because you're walking with God, the last thing in the world you want to do is take it for granted or abuse it. Because God's placed that anointing on us to bless others for his purpose, not for our own purpose. God has given you your talents for his purpose. Why do we spend it on, he said, why do you spend it on stuff that's not going to bring you satisfaction? Spend your energy on stuff that's not going to bring you satisfaction. He says, serve me, listen to me, and live. He said he has glorified thee. He's anointed us. He's shown a difference. It's shining through us if we walk in faith. Look at verse 6. And here's the plea. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Well, we hadn't talked about the tribulation today, so let's talk about it a little bit, right? Hey, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is going to be drawn out. Every born-again Christian is going to be drawn out, and there will not be any left behind. Now, I know there's arguments on that too. Some people say, well, if you're not walking with God the way you should, the way I read it in here, every believer is going to be gone. Then there's going to be two witnesses in Israel, Jerusalem in particular, and they're going to start the whole thing trying to win people to Jesus. There'll be a bunch saved, and there'll be a bunch saved from that. But in other words, everybody that's already saved is going to be gone, and it's going to be a reset button, and it's going to start over again. Call ye upon him while he is near. Right now, you could leave this morning with faith that you're going to heaven with the understanding of God's salvation and forgiveness. You don't have to leave wondering. Right now, you can pray and say, God, I am a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me, and I trust him as my Savior, and ask you to forgive my sins. God, I give my life to you. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. Oh, if you'll pray a prayer like that, giving your life to God and accepting his forgiveness, you'll be saved. Then you don't have to wonder. Now, once you're saved, we illustrate burying our past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. And I encourage you to do that. And you'll have a place and you can say, that's when it happened. That's when I turned my life around. That's when I started walking with God. That's when I got serious about faith. Or you could just be saved and not get serious and miss out on all that God has for us. But do this for me. Call upon him while he's near. Seek Him while He may be found. Because you see, there's going to come a day when you're going to forget about this if you don't get saved now. There's going to come a day when this becomes a thing of the past, an old memory forgotten. How many of you ever forgot a memory? So do you think there's a chance that at some point in your future, if you don't accept Jesus right now, at some point in your future, you'll forget that it was ever brought up this morning? Or right now, you could get saved. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He'll have mercy upon him. To our God, and He will abundantly pardon. Oh, there's no sin in your life Jesus can't forgive. By the way, there's no sin in your life that God can't take away and remove your temptation and your desire for it. He could change your life. Look at what He says in verse 8. This is, of course, Isaiah writing, but God speaking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. How many of you ever had a great idea? I mean, can I just be completely, let me see what time it is, completely honest and humble this morning? We were putting together a little chicken box the other day because we got some little chickens, and I was putting them together, and man, I just thought that was, those little horseshoe nails. Anybody use those things anymore? Aggravating. Anyway, we got it together, and I said, horseshoe nails. You know? Yeah, see, that would have been a great idea. I don't have one. But then I thought, well, what I needed, so I had this idea. I invented this idea in my mind of what I could use. And then I went to somebody, and guess what they said, Sister Linda? Why don't you use staples? Yeah, that'll work. Well, he says, or you could just take a washer and put a screw in. And yeah, you're right. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes we have tremendous, wonderful, great ideas until we say it out loud. Or until we float it out there and somebody else says, did you ever think of this? Hey, let me give you a clue here. God's smarter than you are. God is smarter than we are. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Well, why don't we do it this way? Hey, how about this? How about we do it God's way? You ever talk to somebody who says, well, you know, I serve the Lord in my own way. No, you don't. You serve the Lord your way, but the truth is you're serving you your way because you can only serve God His way. So don't tell me you and God have an understanding. Let me tell you, you and God do have an understanding if you understand that's His understanding. This is God's understanding. He's given it to us so we could understand Him. So don't you come out of left field with some other idea and say that you and God have your own agreement. This is the agreement He's made. As the rain cometh down, verse number 10, and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Aren't you so glad that God says His word will not return to Him void? Let me tell you something. When God says it, it's settled. God said, let there be light. What's the next phrase say? There was light. Just like that. And what did He do? He said it. I'm so glad to know that when God in His Word said that He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He is talking about me. And it said He sent not His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said it. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said it. And it doesn't return void. God loves you. God said, ho, those who thirst, come to the water. Take the step. Take the leap. Advance toward Him. Yeah, He says, forsake your way. Verse number 7, forsake selfishness. God has a plan for us, and it's a better plan than we could ever develop. It's a better plan than we could ever come up with. You see, God's Word is final. God's Word is toward us, but only if our hearts are toward Him. This morning, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's your opportunity. Right where you sit, you could pray. Say, God, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith in You. Right where you are. Right where you are. Maybe you're saved and you say, well, I want to be baptized. I want to bury my past in the waters of baptism. I want to walk with God in newness of life. Become part of this church. This is your opportunity right now. Oh, you that thirst, come to the water. You see, we don't have to be thirsty anymore. We don't have obstacles. There's nothing between you and God. You say, but what about the sin? You need to go to God so He can forgive that sin. What about my attitude? Then you need to come to God so God can help you with your attitude. Don't stand on the outside wondering why God won't let you in, because He said, come. Now's your chance. We're going to stand, give you an opportunity. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you're welcome to do that. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to do that. But the point being this, it's time. It's time. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. Don't wait. Now's the time. You say, well, I got this burden. I need God's help. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, let God know what your burden is. Put it in His hands. See what God will do. I used to say all the time, I guess I've not said it recently, you've seen what you could do with your life. Let's see what God could do with it. Let's see what God would do with it. This is your opportunity to come.